right, men. Let me talk to the men for a moment. Ladies, you can plug your ears. No, you don't have to. Men, no excuses, whatever it takes, I'm coming to this conference. That needs to be your attitude. If we are going to honor the King and bring the kingdom to this earth, it's going to require rare courage. If you're going to be the leader of your home and of your church and community, it's going to require rare courage. And so the first thing, men, we need to do is before we start leading our wives or our families or wherever, we need to lead ourselves. And today, you can lead yourself to register. And some of you, for some of you, that might take some rare courage. Now, we're going to make it real easy for you, okay? You may not like the online registration thing, and we understand that, so we've made it real easy. We've got a table in the foyer. We accept cash. $10. We'll get you registered, okay? Or you can go to the information center, and you can register online through our kiosk there with a credit or debit card. So the idea is now. Register now, today. Don't wait. Do it now. Get it done today. And by the way, if you want to bring your teenage son, sons, they're welcome to come as well. It's never too early to learn about rare courage. So let's get signed up, men. Let's lead the way. Let's get this thing done. Right? Let's meet with God that weekend and receive something that we can't muster up in ourselves. Let's meet with God and get some rare courage from Him. We're going to need it. All right, today we're going to continue in our series on personal evangelism. It's been very practical over the last couple weeks. It's going to be very practical today. If you have met Jesus, you have a testimony. You have a story to tell. And knowing and sharing your story is a big part of how God advances His kingdom in the earth. So today, I want to teach you how to tell your story. From beginning to end, the Bible is one big story of God pursuing us. And how God pursued you, right? Your story of how God pursued you is really His story. So when you're telling your personal story, you're really telling God's story of you, of pursuing you. So your story is His story, and your story of your changed life is the ultimate proof that God, through Jesus, is victorious over sin. For God, every day for God is show and tell day. How many of you had show and tell when you were in kindergarten? Why did they stop that when you got to first grade? I just never figured that out. Show and tell. I love it. What do? Something that's special in your life. Something that's important. You bring it to class and you show everybody and you tell everybody about it. Your life is God's show and tell every day of your life. Paul said, my life is on display, right? For all to see. Your story is God's show and tell story. So what is a testimony or what is a story? A testimony is proof that something is true. A testimony or your story is proof or evidence, right, that Jesus is true. Your story is what you have witnessed with your own eyes and ears to be true about Jesus. Let me say that again. Your story is what you have witnessed, right? With your own eyes and your own ears, what is true about Jesus. Peter and John in Acts chapter 4, verse number 20, said this, "For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen," say it with me, "seen and heard." We cannot help speaking about what we have seen and what we have heard. I love this. Jesus told the demon-possessed man after he was set free from the demons. He told this man in Mark chapter 5, verse 19, he said this. He said, "Now go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. Jesus commands us to take our story, which is really his story, and tell our friends. Tell them how much God has done for you. The Apostle Paul, on 6 different occasions, you'll find it in Acts chapter 22 and chapter 26, through chapter 26, he used his personal story to share Jesus with unbelievers. 6 times. Paul didn't take them to the Old Testament. He didn't take them verse by verse. He took them to his story. I was on this road, on the way to Damascus. He told his story over 6 times to give evidence that Jesus Christ is true and he exists. See, one of the greatest witnessing tools that you have in your arsenal, in your disposal, at your disposal, is the story of your changed life. Can I tell you this morning, you don't have to be a scholar to be a witness. You just have to be a changed person. Some of you may have never read a page in the Bible yet. Maybe you just got saved a few days ago. You have a story. You have a story to tell. Skeptics may debate the accuracy of Scripture. They may argue the existence of God, but no one can deny your personal experience with God. They can't take that from you. They can't talk you out of it. They don't know it. You know it. And when you tell your story of how God has changed you, you go beyond the realm of head knowledge. And let's debate about Scripture or about facts. And you take it to heart experience with God. And you say, you know what? I don't know the Bible perfectly. I can't answer all your questions. But what I can tell you is this. Jesus has changed my life. That's a powerful tool that God has put in your hands. Sharing your story is important because your story has the power, literally the power, to lead people to Jesus. Remember the story of the Samaritan woman? The Samaritan woman at the well. After her personal encounter with Jesus, the Bible says that she left her water jar behind and she ran into town and she began to tell everybody in town what Jesus did for her. And I want to look at it just briefly here this morning. John chapter 4, verse 39. John 4, 39. The Bible says, and many of the Samaritans from that town, watch this, believed in him, in Jesus. Why? Because of the woman's testimony. Because of the woman's testimony. She wasn't a preacher. She wasn't a teacher. She wasn't Pastor Jason. Right? We know that. Right? She wasn't Pastor Chris. Right? She had a story to tell. And the Bible says, he told me everything I ever did. Verse 40. So when the Samaritans came to him, to Jesus, they urged him. Listen to that. Urged him to stay with them. This story of her life transformed was so compelling. When they heard that this was Jesus who changed her life, they urged him, they compelled him, you've got to stay with us sometime. And he did. And he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. So they said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Remember the story of the man who was born blind? The Bible says that Jesus spit on the ground. I like men who spit. He spat on the ground. Come to the Rare Courage Conference. Learn how to spit. So he spit on the ground and he made some mud with the spit. I love that. And then he stuck it on the man's face. He did. That's what the Bible says. He put it on his eyes. He said, now I want you to go and wash in the pool of Shalom, something like that. And he went, the Bible says, he went and he washed and he went home seeing. He could see. Wow. I want to learn how to spit. Right? And he went home seeing, the Bible says. And his neighbors noticed, this guy can see. And they said, wait a minute, is this the same guy? Are you the guy who used to sit and beg? Were you the beggar? And he said, that was me. I was the beggar. How did you get to see? What happened? And he said, the man they called Jesus. The man they called Jesus. He made some mud out of spit. He put it on my eyes. He told me to go wash. And now I can see. They were so convinced about this, so amazed about this guy's story, they took the guy to the Pharisees. They took the guy to the Supreme Court, you know, of the religious society. And brought this guy before the Pharisees. And the Pharisees said, what's your story? How can you now see? And he began to tell him the story. He spit in the mud and he took the mud and he put it on my eyes. He told me to wash and I washed and now I can see. And they're like, oh, wow. And so they began to dig deeper into this. Okay, who is this Jesus? Right? Who is this Jesus? And the guy begins to talk about Jesus. And then finally at the end, he goes, listen, I don't know that I've got it all figured out, but one thing I know, I was blind and now I can see. Listen, when people come to you and they've got all these questions and they're just hammering you and debating you, you can say, listen, I'm not sure about all that, but one thing I know, I was blind and now I see. You've got a story to tell. And when you tell your story, there's a few things you need to keep in mind. First thing you need to keep in mind is this. Your story is not your history. Your history is part of your story. It's important. It helps people connect with you and identify with you. But your history doesn't give glory to God. Nobody has ever been set free by my history. Right? It just tells me that I'm just like you. That's what it does. Hey, man, I'm screwed up. You're screwed up. We're all screwed up. Let's stand up and say, we're screwed up. Right? Okay, so now we're on the same page. We're all messed up. Right? But notice this blind man who I just paraphrased this story. He didn't go around and say, hey, let me tell you about the 30 years that I ran into walls and fell into pits. And then I ran into another wall and I fell into and on and on and on. We talk about all the pits we've been in. He didn't spend a lot of time there. Enough time so people knew he was a messed up dude. And then he moved on about what Jesus, did in his life. See, Jesus is the hero of your story. It's not about you. Don't make your story about you. Jesus is the hero of your story. People should be walking away, not talking about you, but about Jesus. Okay? Man, he was screwed up. Look what God has done. Okay? This blind man who we just told the story about, he made Jesus the hero of the story. And if you go back and you read the story, you'll find that he started saying things about Jesus. He's like, okay, wait a minute. He healed my blind eyes, right? And so he started to say, you know what? He's a prophet. And then he went to the next step. He said, he's without sin. And then he said, he's from heaven. And then he said, he's the Son of God. See, he made this whole story about Jesus. Jesus was the hero of the story. He was the ultimate change maker. And without explaining how Jesus fits into our picture or into our story, you don't have a testimony, you just have a biography. So let's make Jesus the hero of our story because he is. He is. Now, I want to give you how to tell your story. So this is a good place to pull out your tablet or your pen and your journal or whatever you do and write down some notes here. So for the remainder of our time, I'm going to walk you through some quick steps, three steps to tell your story. Number one, write out your personal story. Write out your personal story, asking the Holy Spirit to help. Write it out. And ask the Holy Spirit to help. I want everyone within the... Are you ready for this? You're going to get homework today. All right? Homework. Within the next 24 to 48 hours, I want you to literally sit down and write your story. Literally sit down, write your story, however you like to write it, type it out, tablet, write it out, whatever, in the next 24 to 48 hours. If you can't write it, you can't say it. Writing it helps you organize your thoughts. You put it down, you write it down. You should be able to articulate in writing, I was blind, but now I see. Number two, when writing your story, focus on three main areas of your life. Focus on three main areas of your life. First, your life before Christ. Your life before Christ. Our biggest challenge here, church, listen to me. Our biggest challenge here is we think that life before Christ must involve some spectacular sin or some terrible hardship, right? But don't make it about the sin. The size of the sin is not the issue. The size of our conviction over the sin is. Okay? See, it doesn't matter if you stole your neighbor's pencil or you stole your neighbor's wife. They're both sin. So you don't make a big, you don't go on and on about how you got into that. You know, you don't spend a lot of time there. You stated, I was a sinner, I was a thief, right? And I was convicted. I felt horrible over my sin. And that's discomfort grew and it grew and it grew. Okay? This is your life before Christ. Next, how you met Christ. So we're talking about writing your story. Focus on three main areas. The first is your life before Christ. Second, how you met Christ. This was your spit and mud experience. Everybody who is born again today has a spit and mud experience. You have that time when you encountered Jesus. Always makes me a little nervous when I ask somebody, when were you saved? I don't remember. I bet you that guy that day never forgot that day. Somebody threw mud in his face. He never forget that day. Never forgot that day. Listen, I remember the day that I got married. I know the day that I was born. I know my birthday. And I know the day of my spiritual birth. Easter Sunday, 1986. I know that day. So that second piece of writing your story is how you met Christ. Okay? How you met Christ. Now, the third part of writing your story is the difference Christ has made in my life. The difference Christ has made in my life. What was it like when he cleansed you of sin? What was it like when he removed the guilt and the shame? What was it like the day that sin moved out and the Spirit of God moved in? Right? What difference did Jesus make in your life? And also, what was it like to trust Jesus? What is it like to trust Jesus now every day of your life? Okay? So when writing your story, focus on those three main areas of your life. Life before Christ, how you met Christ, and the difference Jesus has made. Now, this last step is in sharing your story is very, very important. Very important. Write this down. Number three, you've got to do it in 3 minutes or less. You've got to do it in 3 minutes or less. You have 3 minutes to tell your story. Okay? Well, Pastor, I need more than 3 minutes. No. I was blind, but now I see. Okay? Simple. Think simple, simple, simple. 3 minutes or less. The Apostle Paul told his story in the book of Acts, like I said, several times. And when he told it in about 500 words or less. That's 2 to 3 minutes at normal speaking pace. So there you go. It's in the Bible. All right. Tell your story within 3 minutes or less, or 500 words or less. Some of you are so detailed that if you don't write it in 500 words or less, you'll still be writing it this time next week. You'll have a 5,000 word essay. Now, can I be honest with you this morning? How many of you like honest preachers? Good. I don't want your 5,000 word essay. And can I be honest? Neither does the person who just asked you, why do you go to church? Neither does the person who just asked you, why do you follow Jesus? They're not looking for 30 minutes. They're not looking for 5,000 words. They're looking for 3 minutes. And listen, that's about the window of time that you have. Okay? You're in the aisle at the grocery store. They don't have 30 minutes. You don't have 30 minutes. 3 minutes or less to tell your story. Right? Life before Christ, how I met Christ, and how Christ has made a difference in my life. Boom. 1, 2, 3. Simple, right? Okay, so I want to help you see what this could look like. So I want you to listen to Leanne's story and listen to her tell her story in 3 minutes or less.
So I'm originally from Jamaica, which is a very God-fearing country. And so growing up, I went to church with my family every Sunday because it was what we did. Just went through the motions of going to church and going to Sunday school. I didn't really understand or know or seek Christ or understood what it meant to have a relationship with God. And like most people, my faith wavered up and down. I had highs and then I had my lows. And but for the most part, it was below average where I was just going through the motions of being a Sunday Christian. Then I came here for college. And it was just the same thing, just going through the motions. It was last year where I had like my real low, where I stopped going to church, stopped praying, stopped reading my Bible. And I just, it was earlier this year, someone reminded me of Glad Tidings. And one Sunday, I just decided to, let's go. And it was great. And then, so I kept going. I went to the Reels Women's Conference and it was exactly what I needed to hear. And, you know, they tell you that God speaks to you in ways that you can understand. And then every service and then every conversation, it was just questions that were being answered. Small group, it was questions that were being answered. And it was just like, okay, God. And then there was just one particular song that I heard in the radio on the way to work. And it was talking about not eating your cake and having it too, not living, following Jesus, but still living your own life. I was like, okay, God. And then it was one Thursday morning. I woke up really early. I was restless and I just decided I'm going to go to prayer. I don't know what it's about, but I'm just going to go. And so I went and there was just like an heaviness on me. And then towards the end where they asked if anyone wants to pray, this lady went up and then she, pointed at me and she's just like, I just had a vision about you. And then there's a light that you're trying to dull out. You don't dull the light. And then I was just like, okay. And then I went to look for Pastor Chris and she was with the leader of our small group. And I was just like, I don't know if I've been saved or not. If I am, I want to make the recommitment. If I'm not, let's do this. And then she asked me some questions and we prayed. And it's just since that Thursday morning, everything else has changed. Like I didn't understand the concept of cup runneth over until after that, where I just had this sense of inner peace and just inexplicable joy. And then every day I wake up with a sense of gratitude and I wake up wanting to have a relationship with God and wanting to allow Christ to live in me and just do what is necessary to, you know, be for Christ. And I'm always encouraging people to do so as well. And it's just an amazing experience and an amazing journey.
Three minutes or less. There's Leanne's amazing story. You know, what's amazing about your story is your story is how Jesus becomes flesh and blood in your neighborhood, at your workplace. People will be willing to listen to your story more than, hey, can I show you the Romans road? And it's a very important road. It's the road of salvation in Scripture, in the book of Romans. But they're more apt to listen to a changed life. Right? The best advertising is a happy customer. Is a changed life customer. Right? In business terms. In spiritual terms. A changed life. People are wanting to know, is Jesus real in your life? Is Jesus real in your life? I mentioned a few weeks ago, one of the reasons I went to church and I got saved is because I saw a change in my brother's life. And that change led me to ask the question, you know, is Jesus that real? Could he be that real for me? So it gets people thinking, wow, if God can change, if God can forgive and save like he did for Leanne and for Pastor Wall, God can do that for me. I want you to hear Mike's story now. Pastor Jason mentioned 24 years of meth addiction and God has saved him. And how many of you know we're all under construction? Even after we're saved, we're under destruction before we're saved. And after we're saved, we're under construction. And God, right, we're tearing our lives down, tearing it apart before. And then when we get saved, God begins building something beautiful. And so we encourage people who are even new in the Lord to begin sharing their story. So here's Mike's story.
Okay, what my life was like before coming to Christ was a lot of negativity. I surrounded myself with a lot of people that were engulfed in drugs, in violence, in gangs. And it was just, you know, that's what got me on the pathway to addiction and destructive behaviors of violence. And that eventually led me to federal prison for drug sales. And then in 2009, I committed a violent act and a violent crime and went to jail for that. And I took that to trial. And that got thrown out at trial. But while I was in there, my father had passed away, but the most important part was I met this modern day prophet, and he told me some things about my life, you know, growing up that I was just amazed on how he would know. And there was no other way to explain it but besides the Lord. So I said the sinner's prayer in jail. And I remember that day fully. It was, to be honest, it was June 17th of 09. And, I'll never forget that day, but I started reading the Bible, and that was the first time God's word started writing on my heart, and I started to get understanding of it. And like you know, it says in the word, you know, I was on milk, you know, I wasn't eating meat or nothing yet. And then as I got out, I reunified with my wife now. At the time, she was my girlfriend, and I got back into drugs. So, but I knew that I was doing the wrong thing. For the first time in my life, my spirit was telling me, hey, this isn't, you know, before I was just clueless and blinded by darkness. And now I was walking in, you know, I'd two steps forward, three steps back. And then just this last Christmas, I got a misdemeanor assault charge, and he put me in jail on Christmas Day. Like, hey, you're coming back home to me for my birthday. And I was in there till January 29th. But January 5th, the foster system stepped in and took our kids from us. And which I think now I know that was the Lord just setting them in a safe place so he could fully get our attention and fully wake us up on the calling he has for our life. And I think he uses, you know, God has a keen way of using all your negatives and your trials in your life and your tribulations you go through and transforming them to a positive so he can use you to teach other people on how he works. And I really don't think anybody on earth has a full understanding of how God's mind works, you know, God's work. But we get the Spirit, which is the greatest thing ever. And I can't put that into words at all.
Now, how many of you think Mike did a pretty good job of putting it into words, right? He took his story. Mike, where are you at? Stand to your feet, Mike. Man, we thank God for you. Amen. See, now Mike's going to be able to connect with people that I can't connect with. Why? Because my story is different than Mike's story, but similar. We found the answer in the same person. Right. The path we took were to, I was more of a religious path. He was more of a crazy path. But we were both lost. Right. Just lost on different paths. So we found the one path, Jesus Christ. So awesome story, Mike. Thanks for sharing that with us. Worship team, please come. We're going to wrap things up today, maybe a little early. We're going to have some time here to just celebrate what God has done in all of our lives. So again, here's your assignment, right? Next 24 to 48 hours, you're going to do some homework. My kids love homework. They come home every day. Oh, I can't wait to do my homework. I can sense that here today. I can sense that excitement. So the next 24 to 48 hours, you're gonna write out your story, right? You're going to write it out, right? Right? Somebody, right? Somebody's going to write. One person in here is going to write their story. As many of you as possible, you need to be prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have, the Bible says. So I'm helping you this morning to prepare to give the answer. So write it out, right? Focus on the three main areas of your life before Christ, how you met Christ, and how he's made a difference in your life. And you're going to tell your story. You should be able to tell it in 3 minutes or less, or write it in 500 words or less. Now, here's the fun part right here. We want to hear your story. We want you to send us your written story. Why? Because with your permission, we want to share your story. We want to share your story. Our website is full of stories. Full of stories. And Jesus is the hero of every story. Right? And you may say, well, I'm not sure I feel comfortable with it going up on the website. No problem. We want to hear it anyway. You can say, no, I don't want it to go public, right? Or I want it to be shared. You can do that. So go to our website, gladtidingsomaha.com/stories. You scroll down to the bottom and type in your name and contact info, and you can write your story right there. That's pretty awesome. We really think this is important. Because Jesus said it's really important. The demon-possessed man, go home and tell what the Lord has done for you. The Samaritan woman, the whole village came to know Jesus. Why? Because she shared her story. The blind man, his neighbors all came to know Jesus because of his story. Your story is powerful to save people. It's powerful to lead people to Jesus. So we encourage you to do that. How many of you think that's a good idea? How many of you think that's a God idea? Right? God idea. That's going to take some time. You're going to have to beat your body and make it your slave. Paul said that, right? I'm not going to let my body, my flesh tell me what to do. I'm going to tell my body, my flesh what to do. You're going to take some time, 30 minutes, 60 minutes. How long is it going to take to write? For some of you, you could do it in just 5 minutes. Whatever it takes, I'm going to write out my story. Because God wants my story to be told. It's really his story. God, I thank you today for all the stories here in this room of how you saved them, God. And God, how you continue to change them every day, God. God, help us. Help us to write our story. Help us, God, to tell it with the power of the Holy Spirit. God, help us to be able to just share it with others with rare courage, Lord. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Some of you here this morning, you don't have a story yet. I've got good news for you. Your story can begin today. You can have that new life story today. The Bible says all those who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you're here today and your sins bother you, I've got good news for you. It's time for you to bother Christ. It's time for you to call on his name, because the moment you do, he will forgive you, he will cleanse you, and he will move into you by his Spirit and give you that brand new life and that eternal home in heaven. Stand with me today, everybody, please. Is there anybody today that would say, this is my day to be saved? I am still lost in my sin, and I know that I'm lost, but today I want to be saved. I want to give my life to Jesus for the first time. Anybody here today? Anybody? Raise your hand nice and high. Anybody here in the balcony? Over here on the main floor? Any more? today's the day. I'm going to surrender. I'm giving my life to God. I'm repenting, turning from my sin. Anybody else? I saw at least two hands, maybe more. I don't know. Call on His name. We're going to pray this prayer. And I'm going to invite our altar workers to come. So altar workers, prayer workers, please come at this time. I'm glad I got a story to tell. I may not have a scripture memorized, right? I may not be a theologian, but I'm a changed life. And somebody needs to hear how Jesus changed my life. Let's sing this chorus together, and then we're going to invite you to come and pray with these workers today.